In the last couple of weeks, since we haven't been here, it's kind of hard to just jump right in where we left off. And some have, I've been in touch with several people and got a lot of emails and trying to, I'll bring you back up to speed to where we're studying. And the pastor on Wednesday night, he finished with 2 Timothy 4:11, the first part of it, where it says, only Luke is with me. And that's where we began our study on Luke. That's what we've been studying about the man Luke, not the Gospel of Luke, but we've been studying in the Gospel of Luke. We've been studying in Acts. Luke wrote the Gospel according to Luke, 24 chapters. He wrote the Acts of the Apostles, which could really be entitled the Acts of the Holy Ghost, 28 chapters, so there's 52 chapters that Luke wrote, but we know very little about Luke. And when Paul writes, only Luke is with me, he was with him till the end. So we went backwards from there to when Luke started following Paul. And the first mention of Luke with Paul is in Acts 16 when Paul did his second missionary journey. Luke caught up with him in Troas, and you'll find that in Acts 16:10, simply with a little word, we. After he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. Now, the word Macedonia and the word Philippi should almost be equal in your mind, because the church of Philippi is the church in Macedonia. And Luke traveled with Paul and those that were with him at that time, early on in his second missionary, to Philippi. But Luke had met Paul somewhere before that. And so let's go back to the first chapter of Luke. I think this, we all just skim over this. We like to read a lot of chapters, but not in this class. We read a few words and talk about them. The first four verses of Luke chapter 1 explains the purpose of Luke writing what he wrote. And he says, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us Christians, even as they delivered them unto us being, meaning Luke himself, as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. Who told Luke what he wrote down here? It was eyewitnesses that would have been from the beginning when this all started, and ministers of the word. The ministers of the word would be the apostles at that time. So he writes, it seemed good to me, also having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first. From the very first, we find out, is from the conception of John the Baptist. And it goes on, he writes, in order, things that took place clear up until the Apostle Paul had been in prison 2 years in Rome in Acts 28. So he says, it seemed good to me also, having perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. Theophilus is only mentioned by Luke twice, once here in Luke 1 and once in Luke, in Acts 1. Theophilus was a head guy, maybe a pastor, of the church at Antioch in Syria. There are a couple of places that are important in history, church history, and one of them is Antioch, Syria, the church in Antioch. But we don't find a lot of information about it, other than, you know, if you study it out and look it up. This is where Barnabas, after he went to see Saul of Tarsus, found him and brought him to Antioch. In Acts 11, 26, I think it is, Antioch, that's Antioch in Syria, is where they were first called Christians. Antioch was a cultural center, a place that was on a crossroads between traveling east on into, Iraq and even China, and out west to the through the Mediterranean. It was like New York City, you know, of that day, and had a lot of money flowing through it. People from all cultures. It wasn't a Jewish place necessarily, but there were Jews all over the world because of the persecution of Saul of Tarsus. They were scattered after the persecution of Stephen in Acts 8:1, and they went all over the place. Some of them ended up in Antioch in Syria, and that's where they were first called Christians, and the apostles in the church of Jerusalem sent Barnabas up there to find out what's going on. And when he got up there, he seen people from all over the place in this assembly. And he went and said, this would be perfect for Saul of Tarsus. Nobody knows who he is anyway. They took him down there. And him and Barnabas preached there in Antioch, Syria for a long time. The church in Antioch, Syria sent relief to the drought-stricken people in Jerusalem by the hands of, he's called Saul at that time, but Paul and Barnabas down to Jerusalem. And that's all takes place during the events of Acts 12. And then they go back up there to Antioch in Syria, and they stay there another year. And then if you go to, I want you to hold your place in Luke, I guess, one. But if you go to Acts, let me get my mind straight here, 13:1. I want you to see something here. We'll start in Acts 12, 24. But the word of God grew and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and they took with them John, whose surname was Mark, who turns out to be a nephew of Barnabas. And it says now in Acts 13:1, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas, Simeon that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Some of these people were not Jews. They were, you know, so there was quite a collection of people there. Well, this Theophilus that we talked about in Luke 1:3, he was a man from that assembly. And that was an important assembly. And this is where Luke, probably Titus and a few of them, came from, this assembly at Antioch, even though it's not specifically mentioned. You remember the conference they had in Acts 15 in Jerusalem? It was because certain had come from Jerusalem up to Antioch, Syria, and says, hey, look, you know, you Jews, you Gentiles up here, you need to be circumcised in order to be saved. And Paul knew that wasn't right. Barnabas knew that wasn't right. So they went down to Jerusalem and had that conference. And then at the end of that chapter, Silas went with Paul and Barnabas back up there, and they had all that settled, you know, that wasn't the case and that they had agreed on that. And then that second missionary journey started that we talked about, where of Paul, where he went west, and Luke joined up with him there just before at Troas, just before they went over to Philippi. Are you with me so far? Okay. That's how we make the connection. Well, so back in Luke 1, we find that Luke is writing to Theophilus that thou, in verse 4, Luke 1, 4, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed, the certainty of what had taken place in order the history of the church, if you will, starting with the birth of John the Baptist. Now, let's take a time out right there, and we move ahead in time. Luke had joined up with Paul on early on in that second missionary journey and went to Philippi, and we don't read of Luke ever leaving Philippi. If you study that, he was there till the conclusion of Paul's third missionary journey, which, if I remember the timeline correctly, it's about 6 years he was there. And then when Paul starts working his way back to Jerusalem at the conclusion of his third missionary journey, you get to Acts, the 20th chapter. Luke again starts writing in the first person. He joined up with them there in Acts 20, verse 5. So that's where we find Luke again, joining up with Paul. He does not leave Paul from that point forward, okay? But he wasn't arrested when Paul was arrested when he got to Jerusalem there in Acts 21. And so we've talked about this before, that if you got a Scofield Bible, go to Acts 24, and you'll see just before verse 27 that Scofield writes, the silent 2 years at Caesarea. He writes that because we don't hear any more from Paul during those 2 years that Luke wrote about Paul in this last, from about Acts 9, he introduces Saul of Tarsus. And then what we just read this morning, that's where he begins really talking about him there in Acts, the end of the 12th chapter, and on through the rest of the chapter. Well, Luke had traveled with Paul to Jerusalem where he got arrested, but Luke didn't get arrested. Paul did. We find out that he's been in prison 2 years. Well, during these 2 years, it seems like, if you would go with Scofield and his notes, nothing happened. But during those 2 years, Luke hung around. He'd already been introduced to the people in Jerusalem, the saints in Jerusalem. He got to know Peter and John, all the apostles, James, the Lord's brother, who was the pastor of the church there in Jerusalem at that time. He got to know Jesus' mother, Mary. And so you go back here to Luke 1, connect the dots. The eyewitnesses that he talks about and the ministers of the word that he talks about there in Luke 1, 2, who were these people? They were people that knew what had happened from the beginning. One of them was Mary, the mother of Jesus. The whole accounts of Luke 1 and Luke 2 are just what Mary had rehearsed to him, what had taken place in Jesus' life. Luke's the only one that writes about Jesus as a 12-year-old. You know, we find out what happened there. These are the stories that Luke was told from Mary. Now, so I'll kind of finish this, and then we'll go back to where we were. It was Mary that filled in a lot of the gaps. And Luke got to interview a lot of people along the way. Peter, how do you think he knew what Peter talked about in his sermons that he recorded there in Acts? How do you think the sermon of Stephen in Acts 7 got recorded? That was because Paul was there, you know, at Saul of Tarsus. We've talked about that before. And so moving forward in time to finish the story of Luke, he stayed with Paul. And when Paul got released from prison and sent to Rome in Acts 27, Luke was on that ship. And he was with him when he got to Rome. And he was with him when he'd been at Rome. And he was still with him as our pastor finished the Wednesday night Bible study. Only Luke is with me. Luke was a follower of the Apostle Paul. Luke followed Paul as he followed Christ. What kind of saint do you think Luke was? A bridal saint. And the Holy Ghost inspired him to write two of our New Testament books, Luke and Acts of the Apostles. So when you read Luke, what he wrote, you're reading Paul's gospel through Luke's mouth or pen, you know. Same goes for Mark. And the pastor will probably, Pastor O'Dorsey will probably get into that on Wednesday night. You know, bring Mark. He's profitable to me in the ministry. He wasn't always that way. There's a long story on that. But we're talking about Luke. Now, so what I've just said here this morning, was Luke an eyewitness to Jesus anywhere along the way? No, he wasn't there. Jesus had been crucified and risen again several years until after the events took place up there in Antioch, where Luke seems to have come from. Because he met up with Paul somewhere, and it had to be, you know, since Paul spent most of his teaching career in Antioch, Syria, that's where he learned Paul's gospel, you know. And he decided early on, I'm going to follow this guy. So it turns out, if you really think about it, Luke was the main character who established that church at Philippi. I mean, Paul did, started the assembly there. But as he was run out of town, in him and Silas, you don't read a Timothy hanging around there too long. He might have. But who was the guy that was stuck? Luke. So he knew Paul's gospel pretty good. And he loved what he'd learned. Well, when he finally got down to Jerusalem, when Paul got arrested there in Acts 21 in Jerusalem, he hung out with these saints of Jerusalem, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, filled him in on a lot of the things that took place. And we mentioned before in this class, because Luke makes recordings of at least parts of 21 sermons in Scripture, that he enjoyed sermons. He enjoyed hearing the word of God. And so you can imagine Luke talking to Mary, the mother of Jesus, and saying, you know, how many times did you get to hear him preach? Well, I'll tell you, you know, and she would tell him. And let me tell you about the time he came to Nazareth. This is in Luke 4, where we are, his home synagogue. And we've been reading that. So turn to Luke 4 and 16. Well, I'll start in verse 14. And Jesus says in Luke 4:14, return in power of the Spirit into Galilee, And there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Now let me stop here. Anybody got a question so far about Luke? Okay, so Luke's writing this from eyewitness accounts, putting his words to it that the Holy Ghost gave him. Verse 16, and he came to Nazareth, where Jesus had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, and it was Isaiah 61, 1 and half of verse 2. He reads, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He quit, and he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister. The minister was the keeper of the books in the synagogues, and he sat down. And here's where we were talking about. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And we noted that we could have entitled this sermon, I am here, hear me now. Yeah, but we don't have a title for it, but that's what we would have entitled it if we were given it a title. And it says in verse 22, and all bear him witness, all in the synagogue, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Now, this was where he grew up, the synagogue in Nazareth. His family went there. People he grew up with went there. They all knew who he was. But for the first time, they wondered at his gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And then a little unbelief creeps in, because he told them who he was in this reading of the scripture. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? And so we'll stop there for a minute. We mentioned in a couple of lessons in the past month, because we weren't here last week, both Matthew and Mark didn't record the words that were spoken here in the sermon, but they referenced this time. And in Matthew 13, 54, you can turn there, because we'll just catch up where we were. It says in Matthew 13, 54, and when he was coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended at him, in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And notice this, and underline it in your Bible. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. You got to believe that he is before you can get any action. It has faith. You know, faith is not sight. Faith is believing. So then, says in Romans 10:17, so then, like, Come on, let's get with it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And last time we were here, we mentioned about, you know, we've talked about having eyes of faith. Well, we're talking about having ears of faith too. You know, and that's how you get faith. Cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So, he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Go to Mark, the 6th chapter, and we read his recording of this same event, starting in Mark 6, 1. And he went out from thence and came to his own country, and his disciples follow him. Mark 6, 2, and when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this that was given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. And Jesus marveled at their unbelief. And we talked about this, well, I think. If not, we will. Jesus came from an environment, a heavenly environment. There's no such thing as unbelief. You know, there was no doubt. There was, you know, what he said was true. And, you know, here he's dealing with even family members. They're kind of marveling at, you know, it says they marveled. He marveled at their unbelief. And now, in John 7, verse 5, it references the same thing, and it says that neither did his brethren believe in him. That word brethren is children of the same mother. I remember going into Brother Hill's office asking him about this specific verse early on when I started doing this 33 years ago. And he got his big book out and we looked it up, and he says, that's children of the same mother. Well, Jesus' brothers and his sisters didn't believe in him either. Imagine that. And so that's why in John 19, 26 and 27, while on the cross, Jesus turned the care of his mother, Mary, over to the apostle John. He didn't want to turn the care of his mother over to unbelievers, his brothers and his sisters, who should have had the care of his mother. And so in John 19, 26, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. And then he saith to the disciple, which was John, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her, Mary, unto his own home. Now, so his brothers and his sisters weren't given the charge of the care of his mother. The apostle John was. Now, if you go and study what Luke wrote in Acts 1:3, you'll find that Jesus spent 40 days of time after his resurrection showing himself alive by many infallible proofs. And in 1 Corinthians 15:7, the apostle Paul writes that one of these who saw Jesus alive after his resurrection was James, the Lord's brother. And in Galatians 1:19, which Paul wrote, he talks of himself also meeting James, the Lord's brother, and that was upon his first visit back to Jerusalem after getting saved. And this is probably when James says, when I first became a believer, it was after Jesus' resurrection, and he appeared to me like he did to you, Paul. And it's kind of hard to argue with the fact that he was not the risen Savior at that point in time, right? So he became a believer. Now, if go to Acts, the first chapter, verse 14. And Luke's writing continues writing the history of things as they progressed. And in Acts 1:14, we read some of the events that took place after Jesus was taken up in Acts 1:8 and before the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. And it says in Acts 1:14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren, his brothers and his sisters. They were now hanging out with the believers because they were now believers. You think James could have convinced his brothers and sisters that, yeah, you know, Jesus, he was the Messiah. We grew up with him. You know, we should have known better. Those stories that mom was telling us, that Jesus was telling us, we should have listened. We should have listened. So now, if we keep on going and take this a little further, James, the Lord's brother, became the pastor of the church at Jerusalem, and James was the pastor at Jerusalem when Paul first met him in Galatians 1:19. And James was the pastor in charge in Jerusalem at that conference we talked about earlier in Acts 15. So we find that James, much like the Apostle Paul, James, the Lord's brother, after Jesus appeared unto him, after his resurrection, James spent 100% of his time and his effort focusing upon doing the Lord's will, just as the Apostle Paul did, with the guiding help of the Holy Ghost in his life. And he devoted the rest of his life to doing the will of the Lord, which in his case turns out to be the pastor of the church at Jerusalem. So if the Lord could take the chiefest of sinners, Saul of Tarsus, and make him the Apostle Paul, the chiefest apostle, how hard would it be for the Lord to take James, Jesus' brother, and make him the pastor of the church at Jerusalem? It wasn't hard for the Lord. And with God, nothing is impossible. So this is the same James, the Lord's brother, who wrote the epistle of James. Turn back there, one book after Hebrews, you'll find it. And I want you to go to James 5. And I mentioned this in a testimony a few weeks ago about patience. And James wrote much about patience. James knew much about patience because the Lord had been patient with him, hadn't he? Having grown up with him. And so James 5:11, it says, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful, that it means full of affectionate pity and of tender mercy. And so certainly the Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, was very patient with his brother James. And go look in the mirror. He's very patient with you and me. And I'll go one more step with this. Jesus had another brother called Judah, when we read earlier, as Jude. We'll get into that next time, Lord willing.